Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Maria DeMars, and we have the guest who has gotten more downloads, more listens, I guess that's the podcast version of YouTube views, than anyone that's ever been on our podcast, Pete Antico, good friend of mine, and unlike the Hollywood, and a very good friend of mine from my way up to beers, he really is a friend of mine, and stuntman, he's a producer, a writer. One of the things I found fascinating about Pete, and I'm going to armbar him if he does not make this movie, he wrote a screenplay called A Private War about being a stunt, having Tourette's, growing up with people who didn't know what Tourette's was, and then finding out and going on and becoming stunt person, actor. Anyway, so the first thing we're going to have Pete talk about is his upcoming documentary.
Hi, how are you? I made a documentary myself and my partner, Gary Stretch, who's an ex-WBC, former junior middleweight champ, had been met Rhonda and Anne-Marie at the end of 2010 through our mutual good friend, Gene LaBelle, Judo Gene LaBelle. And we were doing exposés on what we thought were brilliant, extraordinary people that have come from nothing and had, you know, faith, which means faith being the depth by definition, being believing you can do something but not having the data how you can get there. And Gene said to me, he said that this girl, Ronda Rousey, you must meet her because she's going to be a world champion. I've only said that twice in my life, and this is one of those times. I said, anything you want. So we ended up interviewing Gene, and then I'm meeting Ronda and her mother being introduced as the, you know, 1984 world Judo champ, which I thought was fascinating because there wasn't Olympics back then. There was only the World's Games for women. They only had men's judo. So you're dealing with that and first meeting Rhonda, who was completely shy and demure, not the outspoken, I want to say press-jaded woman that she is now, because, I mean, I think they beat her up so much in the press that she just is immune to any questions that they asked. What we did is we actually captured the true essence of Rhonda. And in her purest form, her heart and her soul, which a lot of people don't know how kind she is and how generous she is. And the interesting point about it is in the press, I believe that people and social media dehumanize beings and athletes. And the bottom line is they forget the fact that they have mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. And, you know, many times, you know, if they love them, they love them. If they hate them, they want them to get murdered, maimed, destroyed, and they post the most disgusting things about them. And I think we all must remember that we're all part of the human team, and they're just doing a job, and that's their job. Their job is to fight, or if a carpenter's a carpenter, or a fighter's a fighter, or an actor's an actor, or a lawyer's a lawyer. They're just their job, and a job is not a person's essence. A person's essence is their heart and soul, you know, and the kindness and the service they are to humanity. It certainly isn't what your job is. I mean, if I had to, you know, live or die by my successes and my failures, my whole life would be a roller coaster, and I wouldn't know which end is up and which end is down.
Well, and I think that's a really good analogy. I think most people's lives are kind of roller coasters in a lot of ways, and people forget that. But yeah, one of the things my mom said the other day is, you know, never forget that this is what you do, not who you are, about a job. And I think that's something that people tend to forget, whether it's people who are looking at other people from the outside, but even people who are doing a job, sometimes you almost get caught up and you think, well, this is who I am and what I do. And if I don't do this, then what? But the reality is, you know, we had Chuck Zito on last week. What it is it keeps evolving. And if this might be who you are at this moment, but maybe you are who you are no matter what, even if what you do changes. And I think that's important for people to remember.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe a person's essence is not their actions. It's a completely different paradigm. And most people on the planet, they confuse their actions with their essence. So if I tell you that, hey, Maria, I don't like that shirt you have on, and you take it personally, oh, Pete doesn't like me. No, it just means that I don't like, if you have a strong sense of yourself, it's, you know, that would be like me telling you that you were a rock pygmy, and you know you're not a rock pygmy. So it just doesn't mean anything.
I would just question your fashion taste because my shirt is amazing.
So for those of you who are not aware, haven't read about it in USA Today, Pete and his partner, Gary Stretch, have produced this movie, Through Her Father's Eyes. It's about my lovely daughter, Rhonda, and her step from first being on the mat. Random coincidence, they happened to be there like the first day she did MMA. So imagine somebody who just coincidentally was there the first day Michael Phelps jumped into a pool. And they followed her all the way through. So that's coming out. And now, last week we talked to Chuck Zito and all of his changes that he made. And so now, Pete, I know you've wrapped that up. So now we're trying to rope you into a new project. So we'll talk about our new reality TV show. And those of you listening, and we have Chuck Zito here too in our fabulous studios in Santa Monica that can chime in. We've dragged in people with expertise in Hollywood to give us advice. Marie and I are going to be doing a reality TV show and promoting that. So the first thing is, here's our plan, Pete and Chuck. You guys can laugh at us if you want, because, hey, worst things happen to me. We run a video game company, obviously, as you know, and it's a family business. I am stuck a lot of places, you know, Central Missouri, Herman, Missouri, shout out to you. No one knows where it is except for the 2,000 people that live there. You know, Fort Totten, North Dakota. There's not a lot of nightlife, so I'm sitting in the hotel room watching reality TV. And so I see like Duck Dynasty, Wahlburgers, Cake Boss, and all these things. It's a business. And there's a family running it. And I have a family. And I have a business. Now, they have a lot of drama. And Ian, one of our software developers, already volunteered to have an affair with another one of our developers if it would do well on the show.
The other developer wasn't quite on board with that storyline, but...
But hey, she's going to take one for the team, you know?
But yeah, I'm not sure. We have to look at our HR policy. I mean, I guess it's a work in progress since we're running the company anyway. But
I have a phenomenal. See, my idea for you guys is phenomenal. I mean, I call a show called Knockouts. One, because you know, Anne Maria is the 84 judo champion, and Maria, I think, won best sports author autobiography of the year, which in itself is a knockout. So she's knocking him out in journalism. Her mother has knocked people out in the sport world. And her daughter has knocked many, many people out in the world of judo and in MMA. But as a family business, from Anne Maria raising four children and becoming a PhD during a time when she had to raise four children is an achievement in itself, and it's a huge one. I think anybody who is a mother, I think that's underrated these days. A mother is a completely thankless, beautiful job that should be blessed, because the divine feminine's contribution to humanity is incredible. And like, people don't honor Mother Earth. They're destroying Mother Earth. People don't honor women and the immense contribution is to raise a child, because my mother was there for me. She's 87 years old and she was there for me, you know, every day of my life, and still is. And my father was the same. I'm blessed, you know, to have that. But my mother's contribution, having to deal with, you know, to my brother and a sister, to do that since I was a kid. And when I know other women who are raising, or single mothers or even married, who are raising children, I have an immense respect for that. And I think the world needs to really come to an understanding of really what's important, because there's no wealth in the material.
I have to say, though, Pete, I'm pretty certain that I was a different kind of mother than your mother, because there were times, you know, Chuck Zito, when he was on here, had mentioned, we were talking about how, you know, parents now say that you know, if you hit me, I'll call the police. I used to tell my children, if you mouth off me one more time, I will skin you alive and tack that hide upside the wall as a warning to your sisters. You know, they'd say, well, oh, you know, you can't do that. It's child abuse. You know what? You'll be hard to testify if I kill you. And I'll have another one to replace you. And I will tell them how stupid their sister was. And that's why she's dead. So, yeah, I don't think I was like your mom.
But my father was Italian. And he had a temper, so it'd be like, wait till your father gets home. And he was always like, it's like, you know, Rhonda said she feared you, and he got him. I used to fear my father. Wait till your father gets home, and I used to hear that and go back to my room and just hide. So
yeah, see, I think the actual threat was perhaps a little bit greater. But yeah, I have yet to threaten to physically maim my children. I just have mean looks.
She wasn't that scared, though, Maria, because she could run really fast. She was in track, so she figured she could outrun me.
How do you think I got so good at running?
What fascinates me about your family, Anne-Marie, Maria, is that there's so much accomplishment and, you know, and so much focus on, you know, education and keeping your word and actually moving forward, a project forward from A to Z. I mean, I believe you have a phenomenal record for your startup for Seventh Generation Games, and you make games that are mathematical that actually teach children, which needs to be publicized and celebrated more, because more people, you know, should be focused on actual games that forward humanity and forward science and forward, you know, the progress, you know, of our race, instead of looking at Kim Kardashian's ass, which is a total waste of time. And that's what the country's geared toward. They've been brainwashed by social media and the press with all this negativity, and they don't put the first thing that you see when you open up a computer is not science, industry, spirituality, ecology. They don't speak about things that matter. The illusion in that we live in is they talk about things that are just satiation, partying, drugs, alcohol, what celebrity is sleeping with who. So this is a much more important faction. You know, games and things that educate and move children who are our future forward is a much more blessed and integrous business.
And that's one of the things I was talking to someone earlier today about. And I was saying, you know, with our game making camp, you know, we're talking about iPads and you have kids and they're always on their iPad. And I said, one of the things I really like about our game making camp is it makes me feel like I'm doing my part to offset a little bit all the stupid things my daughter watches on YouTube. You know, it's something where, and she, Ava, she plays me like a sucker too, because she'll be like, I'll be like, get off the iPad. She's like, oh, well, I was just going to play making camp. But you know, but then I'm like, well, if you're going to play something that's going to actually make you smarter and practice math, then okay. But you know, I think, yeah, there's so much garbage out there. And I think if you can try and make something that cuts through that, but is also entertaining and engaging, that's what we want to do.
I think that actually is most important, because if you look at our crazy election in this country, people don't know what's important. The most important thing would be the deforestation of the Amazonian rainforest, because if it continues at 3 football fields per minute, and how it works is the humidity from the Atlantic Ocean comes onto the rainforest and it breathes as a living, breathing entity and throws off humidity, and they create flying rivers that used to be miles and miles wide. With deforestation, those flying rivers get thinner and thinner and thinner. If they ever become extinct within the next 100 years, this planet will not be able to sustain life. So we need to make aware that, you know, in the public, there should be a world decree by all leaders to stop this, because do you think money is worth extincting your own race?
Well, my friend Carol Davis, who's on the Turtle Mountain Reservation, she's a big opponent of fracking, of getting the oil out of the ground. And Carol says, how stupid are they going to feel when they find out they can't drink oil? And, you know, that's a lot of the Dakota Pipeline, the No Dakota Pipeline people who are in Standing Rock. You have the same feeling that you need to look further. And this is kind of what we're about. And I want to talk about why I decided I want to do this reality show. I mean, you're a very kind person, Pete. You are. You're very kind hearted. You're saying, oh, this documentary you're doing makes your family look so good. And anybody who knows me can vouch for this. I don't give a rat's ass what anybody thinks about me or how I raised my children. I did the best I knew. And when I knew better, I did better. And that's the way it is. So my interest in doing a reality show is to show people, like you said, first of all, positive things. That I love my family. I'm Catholic too, by the way. Anybody that doesn't like it can bite me. You know, I'm a very good Catholic, and I think, you know, Jesus Christ was a badass because he got nailed to a cross. And that's pretty badass, if you could take that. But the thing is, I feel like I am who I am. It took me 58 years to get to this point, and I'm not apologizing for anybody. But what I do feel is positive is making people smarter. I look at so many kids that I see around the country, around the world, whose life is less than it could be because they can't read very well. They can't do math very well. And somehow they got this idea that it has to be boring and suck and I can't be good at it. And when I started this company years ago, I said, we're going to make games that kids want to play, that teach them. They're going to be games that compete with something like Super Mario Brothers. And people laughed at me, and people wouldn't give us funding. And thank you to all the investors who did give us funding and believed in us. And the U.S. Department of Agriculture, we raised over $1 million. We now are just in the middle of putting out our first finished game, Fish Lake. And you know, Twitch TV, I know you're too old to watch it, but Twitch TV is where people watch video games on the internet. Shayna Baszler streamed it. Jessamyn Duke streamed it. So now our games are being streamed and people are watching them just like they do Grand Theft Auto or World of Warcraft. So we're really making that happen. And so what I want is for people to see this, that a whole bunch of things I want people to see. First of all, you know, like you said, and now Chuck Zito's been a good role model to me because he talks about being in prison. And I was in juvenile hall. I never really talk about it very much. I was in juvenile hall. I was in foster care. I left home at 15. And, you know, here I am now. And as Mario was saying, you know, everybody has roller coasters. They're up and down to show you can go from wherever you are. My lovely daughter, Rhonda, has saying that no matter how far you fall, you can rise up. And see, I actually wanted to call the show Level Up, partly because of the idea in video games that you level up and we make games, but also that no matter where you are, you can move up. And that's what I want. I want these games to be in as many people's hands as a book or a calculator, an iPhone. And do you ever watch The Jetsons when you were a kid?
Yes, George Jetson, his wife Jane, his
wife
Judy.
Well, we're actually,
I remember that. I can sing it.
Programming that to be, you know, like an artificial intelligence teacher. So that's, I think, fascinating. And I think our family's fascinating. And I want people to see it. And like you said, no one will be showing their ass on this show, by the way. And Maria is going to now read out some shout-outs to the wonderful, wonderful people who have sponsored games. She says she always wanted to be an auctioneer, so.
All right. Yes, as I said, I've always felt like if things didn't work out, I could have auctioneer as a fallback plan. So as a test of that, I'm going to go through some of the amazing people that have donated recent games. Starting with Jason, Curtis, Anastasia, Aliana, Linda, Catherine, Kimberly, Brenda, Pamela, Jackie, Sandy, Kristen, Kirsten, Rachel, Elizabeth, Gary, Brett, Michelle, Kelly, Michael, Sean, Alejandra, Alexandra, and Rochelle. Thank you so much for sponsoring Seven Generation Games. And you know what? She, here to my right, was skeptical of my ability to do that, but I will be available for auctions in my free time, but I don't have any, so.
I just wanted to give a couple of special shout-outs. Mike Landers, I believe it's Mike Landers, who I met in Las Vegas, who sponsored an entire school. And if I missed your name, because it's really Mike Lander, well, we looked you up on the World Poker Championships, right? So if there's two guys named Mike Lander and Landers, who both are World Poker players, sorry, whichever one I didn't get.
Thank you to the one that backed us, because you're amazing. And to the other one that didn't, you can find the information where to send things to us to sponsor schools on our website, www.7generationgames.com.
And also one more thank you to Kimberly Wong, who my homie from judo, who came to the tweet up and sponsored a game, along with the other judo homies that we will bring up in another podcast. So getting back to podcast.
I have something just came to my mind. It's like Seventh Generation Games. It said, technology that forwards humanity. And what I support is technology that forwards humanity, because the ethics of humanity are very low and the technology is very, very high. And what needs to happen is the ethics need to be raised up to equal the technology, because, you know, what we're doing is we're only focusing on the money. If the focus was on, you know, technology that forwards humanity, and you would be celebrated for that, why isn't there an Academy Award for people in sciences achievement, which is much more important than bullshit, an actor walking stage, oh, I was so engrossed in this part and they give him an award for that. I would rather have Neil deGrasse Tyson or Carl Sagan or people like that are on there, and people that create hydroponic farming and people that desalinization, that create fresh water out of salt water, things that sustain life and actually build the race forward. That should be celebrated. And new startup companies like this company that actually do this technology and this company do forward humanity, because you're teaching children advanced mathematics at a young age. This kind of company should be celebrated, and more like them. Children in school in 17, 18, and 19, if they want to do tech in Palo Alto, those people, Draper, Fisher, Jurvetson, and all those venture capitals that support it should be looking for companies and supporting companies like this and making them cool and branding them cool, because this consciousness needs to shift out here, or we're going to flush this whole race down the drain.
Well, and we talk a lot about that, because the reality is it's really sad, but what we're doing isn't sexy to investors, you know, because what we're doing takes time and it takes a lot more effort, and you're not going to change education overnight, even if you can get 5 million downloads on your free non-education app. Well, that's what they're really interested in. And I think one of the big things that we've really focused on is realizing that we can do this, and we're going to do this in spite of all of those people. Sometimes we talk about motivated by spite, because spite is actually a really good motivator. I keep a secret enemies list, and for when the day comes that we can just kind of go, haha. But, you know, I think that's a big part of the problem, is people don't want to fix things that are really hard to fix, because they take a really, really long time, and the improvements are two steps forward, one step back. And it's a lot easier to just say, well, here's my stupid app that, you know, maps out the five closest gas stations that are, you know, one penny cheaper a gallon here.
Well, you know, this is interesting, because conceptually, or as an ideology, like what is for the good of all, for the good of race? I mean, what's more important? You know, it's like funny, $80 billion or joy in your heart. Because Steve Jobs, you know, was one of the most successful people in the world. He died at 58, probably miserable and angry. if you want to live your life on a day-to-day basis, miserable and angry, everybody that knows something, money is only a tool to help move forward. But if you think it actually makes you happy in the material world, that's really a complete illusion.
See, you're an idealist, Pete, and I'm a realist. And maybe this comes from leaving home at 15 and having to make my own way and having no safety net. But you need money. You know, we need money to run the company. We charge for our games. They're not free. And I was listening to you and Maria talk, and I was thinking of when I was in graduate school, Irv Bailo is the dean of the School of Education, and we had this class where every question, his answer was, it depends. Like, does school class size matter? Well, it depends. You know, does this matter? And so one of the students finally said, Dr. Bailo, isn't there anything that we know for sure? And he thought about it seriously, and he said, after 30 years studying education, psychology, people, the only thing I can say for sure is all the simple answers are wrong. And it's like Maria said, you know, if you want to fix education, you can't just say, well, everybody's going to learn math. You have to make it so kids want to do it. People, it's like anything you ever did in your life, whether it was playing baseball or being a stunt person or, you know, making video games, the more of it you do, the better you get at. And you do stuff because you like it. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do, if it's entertaining. So that's why, and we'll go to lunch after this and kind of pound it out, but that's why we're looking at doing a reality show. It's got to be something that we can show people. Making games is fun. It's cool. It's amazing. You have something in your brain. I have framed in my house at home the original picture, and I flunked art in school because I really suck at it. People say, you can't flunk art. No, if you really suck, you can flunk it. But I have the original picture where I drew out, this is my idea for Fish Lake. And now it's available on Steam, on Amazon. You can go into a school and see every kid in the computer lab playing it. That taking something in your brain and making it real is amazing. And you were talking about the rainforest. And Maria and I, in the next month, are going to Belize, to Trinidad, and to the Fort Berthold Reservation, North Dakota. And what all of those things have in common is there are places that the Silicon Valley bubble doesn't even think about, places where the internet is not 42 megabits per second everywhere in the country. It's not that everybody has a $3,000 gaming computer. So we're, by the way, if you're in Belize or Trinidad or in North Dakota, we would be happy to talk to you about our games. So I think that would be something that we could fit into a show, that we travel to all these places. And they're exotic, though. Having spent a lot of time in like Fort Totten, North Dakota, Warwick, North Dakota, some of those places are not as exotic as you might think. They're, unless for exotic, you mean really, really, really cold. But I think it would be of interest to people to see something outside of their little bubble.
I just had a great idea, you know, with what you're saying. By the way, in regards to capital or money, I believe money is a tool, and there should be something started like an ethical monetary fund, because companies like yours and people like you who are ethical, more of the world's wealth should be in ethical people's hands. The issue is there's so much wealth squandered on satiation and garbage that the ethical people that don't have enough to move our race forward, especially in the science world and the math world and in the ecological system, this needs to shift. The reason I was saying that the ethics need to match up to the technology, because people that have ethics should control more money, because they will actually do good with it as opposed to squander it on useless, illusionary garbage. So that's really the way I feel. So that, you know, there's a lot of people that are very ethical that don't have the capital to do the things that could benefit a lot of people. So I'm committed to shifting that, to actually putting it out on the conscious. So everybody that's listening in Silicon Valley, you need to start an ethical monetary fund and look for companies that, in particular, that like this company, Seventh Generation Games, that actually moves humanity forward. And there's many fields of science and the ecology that need to be addressed right away. And there's great beings on this planet that have integrity that should be supported in this venture.
Yes, and you folks can send checks straight here. We also take bags of money, credit cards, whatever you want.
Coins?
Gold coins, gold bars, pretty much anything. We have yet to move to Bitcoin, but hey. Yeah, but I think, and when we were talking about travel, I think one of the things that's really important too is it shows that it's not always super fun and glamorous. Because I think people think like when you're doing a startup, it's like, oh, this cool wild thing where, and a lot of times you're like sitting in front of your computer. I mean, that wouldn't be all we show, but you know, you're going places like North Dakota where right now I know the temperature in Minneapolis this morning was -7, and that was before the wind chill. You know, but things like that, because I think it involves a lot more work and a lot more time. You know, we've been around 4 years this week, basically, is when we sat down and we said, Dennis, Maria, I have something I want to talk to you about. And suddenly it was like, we're starting this game company. And Dennis, who just retired, was like, say what? You know, and I was like, okay, I guess, you know, but it was, I mean, we were more excited about it than that, but it was just one of those things where it's like, well, let's do it. But we didn't really, like you said, how do we take this idea and make it something that actually happens? And to show that it's not like, oh, poof, here's my idea and we're done. 2 weeks later, we run with it. But really that anything you want to do, and you've said this many, many times, but anything you want to do in your life takes a lot of effort and a lot of time, and people forget that because all they see is the end result.
Right. There's a really great YouTube video, Shit Programmers Say, and it just shows one person after another, these people sitting at their computer typing, and then after about 3 minutes, you see this one guy go, fuck! It's like, that's a lot of it, because you're working on something and then you swear, but in the end, it's, you know, just like when you're in sports. And I think coming from judo and being a world champion really kind of prepared me for this, because there were years and years of banging away in the gym and practicing arm bars, practicing throws, and doing it over and over and over, and getting up in Minneapolis when I was getting my MBA at the University of Minnesota and running outside in the snow. But at the same time, a lot of it is great. I think this is why it would be a great show too, because, you know, these people say no pain, no gain. Well, there's some of that, but there's a lot of it that's great, that you look at something. Like, you're watching Shayna and Jessamine stream the game on Twitch, and, you know, seeing people from around the world posting comments, or going, you know, for the very first time, downloading on the iPad at the App Store, or just seeing the first artwork. Justin Flores and Stefan Gladue are two of our artists, and they're just amazing. And seeing, you had this idea in your brain, and you explained it to somebody, and they see it, and they get it. So there's amazing parts, too.
Yeah, that part's probably my favorite, especially when, like I said, especially when we went through the redo official. Like you said, you have this idea and you actually have assembled the right people to make it happen and be like, oh my God, that's exactly what I was looking at. That's exactly what I was thinking. And Luis, who is our main developer, who was kind of doing the redesign with us on Fish Lake, was, you know, there was a lot of times we're like, oh my God, we got it. You know, and just the excitement that comes with actually seeing, you know, something that you made come to life.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Having said that, there's a company that I've been working on in myself and dealing with, you know, relieving the symptoms of Tourette's, called Rational Inquiry. The company's called Executive Success Programs, and it's the most fascinating company that is committed to raising the ethics on the planet and is committed to capital flowing into ethical people's hands, like yourselves. And I've been doing this practice for a year, and the woman that runs is named Nancy Salzman, who's incredible. And I've actually reduced the symptoms that I have, I call them uncontrollable urges of Tourette's, 75% to 80% in 12 months with no drugs. It's a cognitive study that breaks the Pavlovian link that we as children, the young Pete, made all the traumas that I thought were traumas at 7 as an adult are ridiculous. And when you realize what these traumas are throughout different parts of your life, you can deal with them. And when you take the stimulus away, then the response dissipates. But there's 10 people in the study that was sponsored by the Bronfman Foundation, which is the Ethical Science Foundation. And there's 7 people with Tourette's that have 90 to 95% of their symptoms gone. And there's 3 people that have absolutely no symptoms. And I'm down to 80. So I'm blown away by watching this process. And if they can do that for me, and then, I mean, Richard Branson has done this, and many huge corporate leaders in New York, and it really is designed to make you more effective as a human being and up the level of ethics. And that is one company on the planet that I believe a lot of people that are involved in it that I think I want to make your company aware of. I'm just thinking this, I'm talking out loud, because a lot of people in this company have lots and lots of capital and are committed to higher ethical values. So I think I think people should know about that. And I think I should bring some of those people in here to talk to you. I just had this, in this moment, I'm talking out loud.
401 Wilshire Boulevard.
But yeah, you know, this is good. And Anne-Marie DeMars and her daughter, Maria, who I've had the pleasure to know, and especially Anne-Maria over the course of the 6 years since I've been doing this documentary, have been a breath of fresh air for me, because she's like a New Yorker, because she tells it like it is. I mean, listen, he's like Chuck and him. They have a great conversation because it's like, you know, hey, they said, at least we stab you in the chest. I mean, we don't go around your back.
Right. If Chuck and I ever get in a fight, it'll be like this. Fuck you. No, fuck you.
It's a pleasure to be around people that say what they mean and mean what they say. You know, I'm the same way. And my, you know, my father used to teach me you should always be able to walk with kings, but always have a peasant's touch, which means that, you know, if you keep your word and you're honorable, no matter who you deal with in life, you're fine because you're standing in your own upper body of integrity.
Well, you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and be okay with the things that you've done. And I think a lot of people sometimes lose that.
So I think that's going to be our guidelines for this show, walking with integrity. But now we have to go and eat. So
long, podcast world.
So this has been another episode of More Than Ordinary with our fabulous friend, Pete Antico. And me, Anne Maria DeMars, soon to be reality TV star.
Me, Maria Burns Ortiz.
Hey, can you say fuck on cable TV?
You can. Fuck it. You can.
Hey! Oh, you are so hard as a producer.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.